Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us right now, a man we've been trying to connect with for several years. He has a connection with Brian Jones. Brian loves this man. It is Jim Mora, former NFL coach, of course. Coach Brian with the New Orleans Saints, the Diddly Poo team. Good morning, Mr. Mora. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going back in New York?
Coach, it is freezing.
And nice here in the desert.
I know. You're probably getting ready to hit the links or something, are you?
Not today.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
How much golf are you getting in these days?
About 3 days a week.
Sweet. There you go. That's what keeps you young right there. Coach, thanks for joining us. It's been a while since I've talked to you. I think the last time we saw each other was 2011 at the BCS title game, and that was it LSU-Bama or was it a Saints game? I think it was LSU-Bama when I ran into
LSU-Bama
you.
LSU-Bama.
Yeah.
At the Superdome.
Right, right. I ran into you there. And first question I wanted to ask you, you coached a long time. How long did it take for you to get it out of your blood? Are you still have that same mindset, the coaching mindset, or you're just done with it, knowing that, of course, you're not going to ever be back on the sidelines?
It didn't take too long. I mean, like you said, I coached a long time, high pressure, you know, Colts, Saints, that type of stuff. I still do some stuff. I still do some things every season, a few times a year, with WDSU, which is the NBC affiliate in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And when the Saints play a game on, actually, after I finished coaching, I worked for NFL Network for 5 years, and I worked for Fox Sports Radio for 5 years. I did a talk show every weekend on Fox Sports Radio, Saturday and Sunday. So I did stuff with sports and involving football, and I still do some things with WDSU, with the Saints, so I'm not totally out of it. But it didn't take me too long to get, you know, they say, well, hey, this is enough. I've done it enough. It's long, been a long time. I'm ready to not do it anymore.
I think that most people, when they think about you, they'll go back to the classic videos of rants after games. Are you comfortable with that being such a big part of your legacy?
No, not entirely. But there's nothing I can do about it, so I just accept it. But, you know, that's I get the playoff thing a lot from people.
Yeah.
walking down the street, I get letters from people, notes from people about it, you know, but hey, I've accepted it now. So it depends what kind of mood I'm in. if I'm somewhere and some guy comes up and I'm walking down the street and I hear some guy say playoffs. And if I'm in a bad mood, I might say something back to him.
Wow, really?
Well, still, not too bad, but yeah. I might.
I love
and
it.
If I'm in a good mood, or it's a good-looking girl,
you let it go.
And it doesn't bother me at all.
You have not changed. And I go back to that because I was a part of that Diddly Poo team, and I always tell folks about you going off and you subsequently resigned the next day. And I didn't have a problem with it, Coach, because the game could drive you crazy, and I know our team was driving you crazy, and I thought for your health you probably need to step away. And a lot of guys in that locker room were upset. They were so damn upset that they still went out and stunk up to join each and every Sunday. But I just remember being in a locker room. I tell guys how that was it took the longest to get dressed because you came in, you yelled at us, and then you left. And you came back in, you threw the laundry bin, and you left, and you came back, you were banging on the Coke machine, you left.
Wait, what are you talking about? I remember doing all that stuff. I think you're overdoing it, Brian.
Coach!
You know, over the years, things get bigger and bigger and bigger all the time, and I found this out. It's, I hear some stories from former players that, well, I never remember doing that stuff.
Well, that's how incensed you were. You're incensed like that, and rightfully so. It kind of, you know, jars the memory, I should say. Along the lines with what Greg was asking you, you've always been a fiery coach. At some point, was there ever an inkling to say, well, maybe I need to temper my approach to how I go about this?
Sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of times. You know, I look back at some of my post-game press conferences, and I wish I wouldn't have said some of the things that I said. I wish that sometimes I wish I wouldn't have said some things that to the team or to players. Yeah, I think about it, and I could have handled things a lot different, and I think it would have been better if I would have, but I didn't. You know, I lost my cool a little bit, and emotions came out, and I'm an emotional guy anyway, and I said some things that I probably shouldn't have said, or said them in a way that I shouldn't have said them. So, yeah, I regret some of the stuff I said, especially to the press.
Are you at peace with it?
You know, I'm pretty good friends with a lot, especially those New Orleans guys. When I go back down there, I see them, and, you know, we've gotten to be pretty friendly. I stay in touch with them and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, there's one or two guys that I had a problem with, and most of the national media I had a good relationship with. So I don't, you know, I didn't hide stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I let it out.
Gio and Jones with Jim Mora across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Are you at peace with it now in your life, or you still think about it a lot?
Oh, I don't think about it a lot. No, yeah. What good does it do? It's been a long time. Right. I don't think about it a lot at all. No, I'm at peace with it. Yeah.
And the way I read it was, and it's interesting to see, you know, the relationship you had with the media, the way I read it was that people were more like, wow, he's really fired up and it's entertaining to us, as opposed to, man, he's being a jerk to us. That's from my perspective. Yeah. Was it more of that, or you feel like you didn't talk to the media properly?
Well, I didn't know, but the over the years since I left coaching, when I talk about it with people, that's the impression I have too. I know some media guys. In fact, I was talking to a guy a couple weeks ago. He's still with the media in New Orleans, and you know, he said, "Hey, you told it like it was, and you didn't hide things. You let us know how you felt." And he says, "I respected that." So, I, you know, when I hear stuff like that, then it doesn't bother me as much.
Well, I think I can speak to some of my teammates, and I was only with you for a couple years, we felt the same way, and it was refreshing. And you didn't just had to guess what was on Coach Moore's mind. He would tell you what was on his mind. So that was refreshing. And, you know, growing up in a different era than now, where some of these players have thin skin, they couldn't have handled that approach. When you look at the Saints now and the success they're enjoying, of course, starting with that young defense that's finally starting to congeal, they've gotten much better. What has impressed you about them thus far this season?
Well, the main thing, the big improvement, like you say, is their defense. And I've been following them now and doing this thing with them for about eight seasons. And, you know, the few years after the Super Bowl, when Sean Payton got suspended and the defensive coordinator got suspended and their defense stunk, and they've always had a good offensive team. You know, with Drew Brees and the receivers and Sean Payton coaching, basically coaching the offense, they've always been good. They've always been able to score points. I didn't think their running game was particularly good, but they struggled defensively. So now that they've got, like you say, a young defense and some talent over there, you know, they're special. I think they're a really good football team. I was at the game last Thursday in Atlanta, and they didn't play particularly well that night, but I've watched them on TV here the last, you know, half of the season, and I think they're really good. They're good on defense. They run the ball now a lot better. That Kamara kid's a talent, and of course Drew's his own, you know, the way he's always is. They got some good receivers. I think they're a really good football team.
Brian always talks about how you gave him one of the highest compliments. What were the exact words, Brian?
I'm not sure Coach will remember this, but we were in a team meeting and he was talking about being in a dark alley, and he said that pointed out two guys, which I was one of them, and Lorenzo Neal was the other. And he said he'd want those two guys with him, and so yeah, that was pretty cool.
Okay,
yeah, I always felt, you know, if I felt that way about some players that I coached, that if I, you know, had a dark alley and had a bunch of guys coming after me, if I could pick a couple players that I would like to help me out in that deal, those were the guys that I wanted to have in that situation.
Well,
another one that I always respected was Ricky Jackson.
He
was a tough guy, and I run into Ricky sometimes when I go back to New Orleans, but good man.
Yeah, do you know what he's saying? Because all those years I was around, I still don't know what the hell Ricky was saying. He's speaking that Cajun language or something.
I know. He's still that way.
Well, you coached some great ones, Coach, and I tell this story. I always had, when I was in college, I had the Dome Patrol, that poster hanging up in my dorm room, and you had Swilling, and you had Ricky, of course, and Von Johnson, and the late Sam Mills. So, and you had Sam even when you were in the USFL, I believe. So you had some great ones that you coached along the way.
Well, we had, when I was with the Saints, you know, we most of the time there we had a really good defense, because we had good players. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason you have success because you have good players, and you know, the Dome Patrol gets a lot of notoriety and a lot of credit, and they did and deserved it. But boy, we had some defensive linemen that were good players too: Jumpy and Frank Warren and Jimmy Wilkes and Bruce Clark. Those guys were special too.
Yeah, Wayne Martin.
Wayne Martin, yeah.
Geo and Jones or Jim Moore on CBS Sports Radio. Brian always says that he wasn't as committed as he could have been early on in his career, and he sometimes looks back on that and wish he had done things differently. From a coach's perspective, when you see players that you're not getting the full potential out of, do you really feel like you can affect that individual, or is it ultimately at that level of the NFL up to the individual to figure it out himself?
Well, I think a coach can only do so much. I mean, most guys don't change a lot. Now, they do some, but I've felt like that if he's had some problems in college being motivated and things like that, that all of a sudden he comes into the NFL, it's not going to be a big difference, maybe for a year or two, but then he kind of goes back to what he was. But that's not always true. I don't want to be negative in that respect. But, you know, you can only do so much, and I think the key to be successful is to get those kind of guys that are motivated. You know, Dick Vermeil told me once, he said, the key to having a bunch of motivated, you know, the key to motivation is to have motivated players. You know, that helps a lot. You don't have to spend a lot of time jacking them up with pucks and this and that and all these kind of things. That if you want guys that, just get guys that are motivated. And, you know, I've always felt like the key is to have good people on your team too. And you're, as an NFL coach, you can decide who you want. If a guy's a jerk, get rid of him. And if he's not motivated, get rid of him. And that's all you have to do. Don't have a bunch of jerks on your team. Have good people that are self-motivated, that are good players, and then you have success.
I think that across the board, you could use that logic there.
Oh, yeah.
Coach, we were just discussing the popularity or lack thereof of the NFL currently, a lot of hits off the field, on the field. How would you categorize the popularity of the league, or the health of the league, I should say?
I think it's good. I mean, you look at attendance. I've heard that some attendance is down because of the kneels and the not standing up before the game and all that kind of stuff. But when I go to these Saints games, or when I watch games on television, or when I talk to people about it, when I read the paper, when I watch TV and what they say, I think that NFL is a popular as it's ever been. And I don't think, you know, people read some things in the paper about NFL players, you know, and some of these guys are jerks, but I think 95%, maybe even more, I mean, they're good guys. They want to win, they want to be successful, they want to be coached, and I don't think they are a bunch of prima donnas. People say, "Oh, it's hard to deal with you." I bet it was hard to deal with those prima donnas. I didn't think so. Don't have prima donnas on your team.
Get rid of them. That's right.
That's right.
When you look back on your career and you want to feel good and you're sitting around getting nostalgic, what era is the moment that you go back to the most?
Well, you know, when we took over the Saints had not had a winning season in about 20 years, and they'd been 8-8, I think, a couple times. But, you know, it's that first winning season and then that success that we had early, in my career at NFL, a career with the Saints, was a highlight. I probably didn't appreciate it. I probably was a coach, Brian, I don't know, maybe you would think this too, that I never was able to smell the roses, you know. It was always like, we got more to do. Boy, that next game is going to be tough. We can't enjoy the last one. Maybe we can for a day or something like that. But we had some really good teams in New Orleans, and we had a few good teams in Indianapolis. Indianapolis hadn't been very good. Then we drafted Peyton, and my first year there, we were 3-13 with him starting and playing every game. The next year, we're 13-3 and won the division. So, but boy, it was always like, worried about the next game, worried about the next season, those kind of things. I wish, as I look back, I wish I would have, you know, like I said, smelled the roses a little bit more and enjoyed some of the success we had. But coaching in the NFL and it's like coaching anywhere at you know, big time levels. When you win, it's fun. When you lose, it sucks. Basically, you know, it's tough. But so winning. Winning makes it fun. Losing makes it hard.
Yeah. Well, Coach, joy to hear your voice, and enjoy seeing you from time to time on the tube doing your football work. And you were a good one, man. I look back on even though we played on some, I was on some bad teams, and we didn't amass a great record. You were a good one. You were always honest, and I appreciate that. And I'm proud to say I played for you.
Well, good, and I feel the same way about you. And I've enjoyed being on with you guys.
Thanks Coach.
For the time this morning.
Day.
You
okay.
Too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.